Lord of every family. Lord, we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. There are two questions being thrown to me about tradition versus change. Question like, what traditional values need to be kept and defended? And the other question is, what changes in society can be accepted and what should not? All right, so we are talking about tradition versus change. Of course, we are talking about two set of social systems. One is the traditional family system. The other is the modern family system. So when we talk about change, we are talking about the what modern days have brought about changes to the traditional family. So in short, it is about the traditional family, the modern family, but actually there's another important family, the social system. I call it the biblical family. That is what I want to focus at more tonight. All right, there's the traditional family, the modern family, and the biblical family. As I mentioned, five defining questions. Let me just highlight these five questions so you have an understanding. The first question is, why is it so important? All right, that means regarding the family. Why is it so important? The second question is, if it's so important, why is it so neglected, really, right? If it's so important, why it is so neglected in so many families? The third question is, what is it all about, really? The fourth question is, what makes it so difficult to keep the family together? And the final question is, how can it be best accomplished? In terms of building the biblical family, how can it be best accomplished? So let me just jump into the first question. Why is it so important? Of course, as you know, the family is very important. It is the basic foundational unit in all human communities around the world. That's why it's important, the basic foundational unit. William Bennett, he said, for a civilization to succeed, the family must succeed. That means without the family, it will have great consequences to the extent that it will also affect the whole civilization. Because family is the heart and soul of human society. So that's why it is so important. Every family is important. The collective family is within the because if the family is weak, then the society will also be weak and it will also affect the nation as a whole. So that's why is it so important? Because it is the basic foundational unit, is the heart and soul of society, all right? So the second question then, if it's so important, why is it so neglected, really? If it is so important, why is it so neglected? Of course, there are a number of factors that have contributed to the neglect of this very important pursuit of building a solid family and to ensure that it is wholesome and it is biblical. There are several factors to it. And let me just briefly highlight some of these factors. Factor number one is industrialization. All right. So as you know, industrialization, we are talking about the social and the economical change that brought about transformation to society, to our lives. We move away from the cultivation of land to modern industrialization. So this is one factor. The second factor is the material standard of living. Because of industrialization and the advancement of the society, so our standard of living has progressed tremendously. So with the standard of living in progress, and therefore our focus, our concentration, our priority has also been changed. And as a result, it has an effect on families as a whole. For example, in Singapore, and some of you may remember that in Singapore, and many years back, we talked about the five C's, right? You remember what are the five C's? Of course, it's not Kelvin, it's not Kara. Yeah? So the five C's, they are condominium, credit card, country club, right? What else?
House,
right?
Children,
right, you know? So the five C's. And do you know that Singaporeans today have upgraded from five C's to eight double C's? So, of course, the first is country club, double C's. When it comes to cars, it is chauffeured cars, not just car, chauffeured cars. Third is cash, cool cash, all right? Cool cash. Condominium must be chic condo. That means very lavish designing chic condo. Number five, not just career, but a challenging career, right? Then number six, you must have a China connection. Business in China, you know, different kinds of connection, right? So let me just recall, I mentioned about condo, then cars, pool cash, challenging career, China connection, and seven is guess what? Not just children, but clever children. All right, so we must have clever children. Yeah, so we have upgraded. There's the eight one. I just can't remember at country club. You know, yeah, I mentioned that before. Yeah, so we have upgraded ourselves. Then of course the urbanization. All right, in terms of city living, we are city people now, so city living tends to be a bit more liberal. Eat, drink, and be merry, all right? Then education. In the days of old, we have a lot of mission schools. I'm not too sure about in Australia, but in Malaysia and Singapore, we have a lot of mission schools set up by different religious organizations, be it the Catholics, the Anglicans, or the Methodists, but and therefore they teach Christian education, even in the school, and a lot of moral teaching. But today, it is different, all right? The mission school no longer that mission-oriented anymore. It's basically just becoming another secular school. So therefore, education has been changed and transformed to a certain extent. Of course, the next factor is same-sex marriage. All right, so there's the next PowerPoint. So the redefinition of family now is being redefined. It's not just about a man and a woman, not about marriage between two persons, a man and a woman. Now it's marriage between any two persons, all right? Could be male and female, male and male, and then female and female, right? So that has caused a lot of impact to families to a great extent. Then, of course, the impact of media, all right, internet and whatnot. So that great effect on all of us to a great extent. And then finally is religious values have deteriorated. The fear of God is disappearing really. So people put less emphasis or focus on the God factor because they are so preoccupied with so many other things in life. So as a result of some of these factors, so it has brought about a decline or a deterioration of family values. What was important before, now is no longer that important. What was acceptable before, now is no longer that acceptable. What was something that we give priority before, now we don't give it that strong priority. So therefore, things have changed. And because of all these changes and different factors, somehow it has a great impact on the foundational family unit as a whole. So that's why, you know, it has impacted marriage and family, and therefore with all these different factors, and as a result, the building of a strong family is being neglected, no longer given the priority as it should be, right? So that's the second question. The third question is, what is it all about, right? Of course, it's about keeping the family rooted in strong biblical families. It's about keeping the family focus on God. It's about the outbreak of children in a godly environment. It is about the centering of the Word of God in every family. It's about establishing a strong faith in every home. So that's what it is all about, all right? But sadly, over time, as I mentioned earlier, because of many other factors, we are less focused on the pursuing of the building of a strong biblical family because our focus is being distracted. We are more preoccupied with many things in life. And with all the changes around us, somehow, all right, he has taken away our priority and our focus in this important area. So there are also new trends that have developed in our society. And all these trends have a part to play in the way it has affected us in one way or another. Okay, what are some of the trends? Trends like people are delaying marriage, all right? People are delaying marriage much older, and as a result, there are certain consequences. Divorces on the increase. Even in Singapore now, it's about 30%, right? In Australia, I think it's a bit higher. In the US, it's about 50% or even more. Parent-child interaction has changed somewhat because of modernization, because of affluence. Now in these days and time, hardly you can have the family to come together for a a good meal at home, really, because everyone is more busy, more preoccupied with so many things. In the days of old, you know, families will eat together. But today, if a family can do that, it is a real blessing, especially in a Singapore context, in many other affluent society. So things have changed, really, the interaction. Now, the communication gap between parents and children is much wider. There's a real gap. And as a result, it has contributed to a lot more conflict even between parents and children. What about the decline in childbearing, right? Yeah, even in Singapore, I just read an article that more and more couples have chosen not to have children for different reasons altogether. So there's another factor. Then what about cohabitation is acceptable today, really? People are living together before marriage. And many people don't even see the need to have a formal wedding altogether. In fact, Carice and I, we just had our staycation, or like last night, because the government gave us money or vouchers to stay in hotels or to visit certain touristy places. So we chose a staycation at Mandarin Hotel along Orchard Road. So we checked in yesterday, just for one night, and there were a lot of couples there. And I realized that there are some couples that are very, very young. And in my guesstimate, I don't think they are married, all right? But they are checking in. So all these are pretty concerning, really, okay? So it's something that is acceptable today. Then about, of course, dual income family, all right? Of course, it's a good thing because it has provided a lot more for the family because they are financially stronger. But dual income also has other implications, really, because father and mother, they are working, they are more busy, and as a result, less time for one another and less time for the family as a whole. All right. So what about also more stepchildren today? All right. So there's another equation that's affected families. So these are some of the trends that are happening in our time, in our society today, that has an impact on the basic building block, and there's a family unit. In the LA Times, Los Angeles Times, they said this: the family used to be a refuge from risk, but today it is the epicenter of risk. And increasingly, families are a source of risk as well, really. Yeah. Because of many things that are happening within the family, husband and wife relationship in great conflict, all right, abuse, violence, and whatnot. So all this, okay, has contributed to a different lifestyle altogether and resulted in the deterioration of values, especially traditional values and biblical values, and also the disappearing of morals. Okay, morality has declined tremendously. So these are some of the trends that has affected the family unit. Then the fourth question: what makes it so difficult? This deterioration, this decline, all right, of values. What makes it so difficult to build a strong, godly, biblical family? What makes it so difficult to keep to the strong traditions and biblical values? What makes it so difficult? Basically, three areas, three S's. First is self, the self. That is the point of greater self-centeredness in today's society. It's a lot more about me, what I can get, what I can profit, what I can benefit, all right? So a lot more centered on the self. So as a result, we become more liberal.
There's no need to stop here. Check if the device is on your home Wi-Fi network.
Sorry, my phone just disturbed me, all right? So we are more self-centered, and as a result, the family ties have been affected, and it has contributed to a lot more issues and problems because of self. Then of course, second is society. Society has become a lot more liberal, definitely. A lot more attractions, a lot more distractions, a lot more messiness, a lot more things that are happening out there that can have a great effect on each and every one of us if we are not careful. And of course, lastly is Satan. There's a great spiritual warfare, and we must remember this. And you know the mission of the enemy is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's what he's doing today. Okay? To kill, to steal, and destroy the peace, the harmony in families. We can say the families today are under attack, really. Under great attack. Even Christian families. And as a result, it has brought about a lot more brokenness even within families. So these are three factors that make it more difficult, really. First is the self. Second is society. And third is Satan, the enemy. That's why the Bible says we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers of darkness. That's why if we are not on guard, if we are not spiritually strong, then easily we will succumb to the temptation from our workplace, from the values of the society that we are in, even certain teachings brought about by other people. And of course, most of all, there is the spiritual warfare that seek to weaken us, that instead of giving priority to the building of families, we get also, you know, sidetracked by so many things. And the devil is laughing when we are no longer focusing on what's really, really important. It's the self, it's society, and Satan.
I spoke with the lady who interviewed you when you went to the wound clinic. When you went to the wound clinic.
Yeah.
And she said you need a knee brace.
No, I need a knee brace.
Karen, so sorry, Karen. You are, can you mute your Zoom, please? Thank you. Thanks. Sorry, Pastor Kelvin.
Okay, right. So like I said, it's a spiritual warfare. That even in Singapore, in the last 2020 census, actually there are more free thinkers in Singapore now than 10 years ago. Yeah. So some of the things that are happening, developing, all right. But let me just focus a bit more on the final question. How can it be best accomplished? That means how can we really be reminded and be challenged that we need to give priority to the building of our families? I mean, you remember the parable of the builders, the two builders. One was building on the sand and the other was building on the rock. And the one that built his house on the sand, when the storms of life came, the house just fell, crumbled. The one that built on the rock, even in the midst of all the challenges and the storms of life, it remained firm, steadfast. I think that's what we must be reminded. We are all being confronted with a lot of storms around us, a lot of fiery darts at us. So the point is, are we building our family on the sand or are we building our families on the rock? If we build our families on the sand, then in the face of storms and challenges, it will not withstand. But on the rock, then we remain firm and steadfast. So how can it be accomplished? Then we must determine to build our families on the rock. So in this light, three things really matter. First, faith matters. Faith matters. What do I mean here? I meant faith at home matters. Faith at home matters. In other words, in every Christian family especially, there must be the pursuit and the practice of faith at home. Let me say that again. There must be the pursuit and practice of faith at home. That's why I said faith matters. Ultimately, faith begins in the home. It is not the church, it is the home, really. I said this to parents from time to time. I say to them, we are partners together in the nurturing of our children in the Christian faith. We are partners together. But I say to parents, but you are the senior partner, where else I or the church is the junior partner. You are the senior partner and we are the junior partner. Why I say we are the junior partner in terms of the church? Because your children, basically, they only come to church the most about, 2 hours a week or even less. If they come for the Sunday school, children, church, or some other thing, maybe the most is 3 or 4 hours per week. But the fact is that the children, you know, are in the home 24/7. So therefore, how faith is being pursued and practiced has a great, great impact on the home environment and the spiritual atmosphere of the home. There's so much in every Christian home. That's why I say faith at home is important, and such faith to be strong in a family must begin at home. But let's be very frank, and that is because of so many other factors and the trends around us and the busyness of life and the distraction and the attraction that we experience in life. Somehow, we are not giving, all right, such importance or priority to the building of faith at home for various reasons. But tonight, I just want to bring us all back to this very focal point to help us to lay that strong foundation that as faith matters so much in the home, and how we pursue and practice faith at home has a great, you know, impact on the whole family. So that's number one. Faith matters. The second is foundation matters. Foundation matters. Earlier I mentioned about the parable of two builders, all right? It's about foundation. One has a strong foundation because it was built on the rock. The other has a very weak foundation because it was built on the sand. So it's about foundation, really. The stronger the foundation, the stronger it will be able to withstand the storms and the challenges of life. But sometimes, because foundation is something that we don't really see, and sometimes, it is so much being neglected. In every building, there are three parts to it. The first part is what we call the superstructure, and that is the facade of the building. That means that the surface, what we see, the appearance, the superstructure. That is the first part of the building. The second part of the building is the substructure. Okay, the substructure has to do with the columns and the pillars that hold the building together. All right. But the third part is more important, it's the foundation. All right, it's the foundation part. Because the foundation determines how high the building can be built. It depends on the foundation. The stronger the foundation, the higher the building can go up. But the weaker the foundation, it affects the height of the building. When Grace Assembly of God was embarking on the building project a few years ago, the whole duration was about 30 months, 30. But more than a year, we could not even see the structure of the building, because more than a year they were spending time on laying that foundation, because it's going to be a 5-story building. So they spent a lot of more time on the foundation to ensure that it is strong and it can carry the weight of the whole building. So in short, foundation is so important. The spiritual foundation in your life and my life, the spiritual foundation in your family and my family, it is so, so crucial. So therefore, every Christian family must ensure there must be strong foundational values. Let me just highlight a few of these foundational values. First is the purpose of life. I think in every Christian family, we could recognize that ultimately it's about God. It's about living for Him. It's about serving Him. It's about living out God's purpose in our lives. That every family, there must be a God-divine purpose, because we have a God-divine destiny. So that the sense of purpose has to be grounded and established in every heart, in the whole family. And therefore, family is no longer just about the pursuit of wealth or have a good life, but beyond all this is about how we can glorify God together as a family. So that is so, so important. So the understanding of there's a greater purpose for us as a family, all right, beyond, you know, just having a nice time, beyond just having holiday together, beyond just being rich and prosperous, beyond having a great career. It's about a family that's God-centered, and we pursue God's purpose for our family. So there has to be a strong foundational value. Then second is the permanence of marriage, all right? So, I mean, I don't have to elaborate much on this area. You know it is so important. But of course, with so many challenges, as I mentioned earlier, divorces on the increase, and many lives have been affected, broken, in pain. And that has a great, you know, vibration, negative vibration that affects people around. So we got to reestablish the importance and the permanency of marriage. In every marriage, there will be great challenges, but we learn to look to the Lord to help us to face every challenge so that, you know, we are able to stay together for the glory of the Lord, because it is a sacred institution. Because in the family is a place where we practice love, companionship, forgiveness, and parents set a good example, and all these things are important in the building of families. Third is the value of children. It's another foundational value. You know Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Here is talking about passing the spiritual legacy to the next generation. That every generation have that awesome responsibility to pass to the next generation the great foundational values that's built upon the Word of God. So that's where we begin to raise up godly heritage. Children today and young people today face tremendous pressures, peer pressure and pressures from the society. And I would say it's not easy to be a young person today because of the great temptations out there. And therefore, for our children to be able to withstand the storms of life, they have to be grounded. Grounded with the Word. Because the Word will give us strong biblical values. So that's why I often say to parents, education is very important, but the education must also include spiritual education, not just academic education, but spiritual education. Because spiritual education will insulate them or protect them from the fiery darts of the enemy. So that's why it is it's so important to have that establishment of a godly home. And parents become the spiritual father and mothers also. Not just the natural parenthood, but also the spiritual parent. That's where the sacred roles of father and mother comes in. The father is the priest and prophet in the home, not just a provider, not just a bread earner, all right? But the priest and the prophet. But of course, sadly, in many homes, even in Christian homes, we have seen the breakdown of relationship between husbands and wives. When there's a breakdown in relationship between husband and wife, it will have a great negative outcome to the children also. As a result, the whole family will be affected. So we need to recognize the sacred roles of both parents. So in short, you know, in relation to the earlier point about children giving them a firm foundation, that's why I say faith begins at home. That every parent has a great responsibility to nurture and to inculcate strong biblical values so that children will grow up in their godly environment, and that is so needful. Of course, the other is the honor given to the elders, you know. How do we respect elders? All these are in the Word of God. So these are just some of the foundational values, because when we ensure such foundation values are strong, then we know what to keep, what not to keep. We know what to follow, what not to follow. Then we no longer follow or influenced by the society's opinions or the influences of the world, but we allow God and His Word to influence us. And then we practice biblical values in the building of our families. Of course, finally, is fundamental matters. Faith matters, foundation matters, and then fundamental matters. What do I mean here? You see, earlier I talked about the self is one stumbling block. So ultimately, we can understand it's about moving from me-centered to we-centered as a husband and wife, as a family, and ultimately to become Christ-centered. That is ultimately most important. That is the fundamental part of your life and my life. It's about your relationship with God, my relationship with God, your walk with God, and my walk with God. That is fundamental. If our walk with God is weak, then it affects other areas. When a relationship with God is weak, there's an effect on other areas. But when our walk with God is strong, when our relationship with God is strong, then it has a great positive impact on other areas of our lives. That's why it's important for us from time to time, we must do a soul searching, so to speak. All right? Yeah. Because what is happening around us is a lot of a spiritual erosion taking place, if I may say that. A lot of spiritual erosion taking place. And therefore, we need to search our hearts, you know, as to where we are in our own walk with God, in our own marital relationship, in the area of the whole family unit, where we are. Let me just highlight some early symptoms of spiritual erosion, all right? What are some symptoms of spiritual erosion? One is compromise, right? We begin to compromise with the ways of the world, with the standard of the world, with the values of the world. So compromise is one. Two is a diminished zeal in our hearts for God. That means a diminished passion for God. No longer we are that passion for God as before. We find ourselves more preoccupied with many things in our minds, in our hearts, and God takes on a smaller part in our life. No longer is at the center, but maybe just a part of our lives. What about a lack of interest in the Word of God? All right? A lack of interest in the Bible. We no longer read or study the Word as before. All right, the zeal has somehow gone. Then the other symptom is we begin to rationalize sin. When we sin against God, when we did something that we know is not right, we just rationalize it away. no longer we come before God with a repentant heart and just begin to acknowledge that we have done something wrong or sin against Him. Then what about an unhealthy attachment to material things? All right. Thank God for material things. Such are blessings of the Lord. But sometimes we can be so attached to material things that it has a grip on our hearts. So we got to check our hearts. Or what about not consulting God on major decisions? We begin to live our own lives. We make major decisions without even praying about it or consulting or inquiring from the Lord. So it can happen. So this is another symptom. And what about our prayer life? You know, weaker. We don't pray as before. Prayer becomes a form, no longer something from our hearts. So these are just some symptoms about the spiritual erosion, because all this has a great impact on our fundamental relationship with God. So the point is of keeping our relationship with God strong in our walk with Him. I'm sure most of you, or some of you, you remember this man by the name of Winston Choo. Winston Choo was a three-star general in Singapore. At one time, he was the chief of the army. At one time, he was also an ambassador to Australia, Winston Choo. So recently, he just wrote a book about his life, his memoirs. And in his memoirs, he has this to say. Let me just quote what he said. Quote, he said, "I must admit that I had not always been devout, nor had led an exemplary Christian life." But then he talked about his wife. "But my wife never faltered, and she ensured that we kept our faith strong as a family." And he said this was especially so after our first grandchild came along. He said, "Then that's where I said to myself that I must stop my best lighting. My best lighting must stop. And it is time that I must return back to God with a greater passion. I must do that not only for my own salvation, but also because my home must be a sanctuary for my children and my grandchildren, and must be a Christian refuge." That's what he said. Thank God that there came to a point in his life that he realized that he must take his faith seriously. He must set a good example, and he must do what he could to ensure that his family will be a sanctuary, a refuge where they will experience God. So Winston Choo, he made that commitment, thank God. And all of us, we need to make such important commitment, because our families are important. And especially, you know, the head of the household, we have a great responsibility to ensure that the families remain strong, grounded, you know, in the Word of God, so that we can have strong biblical values and not be influenced by the world. So this is the fundamental, you know, that is so important. That's why I say fundamental matters, that is your faith in the Lord, your walk with God, your relationship with God. Let me just close with this statement said by Stephen Covey, all right? Stephen Covey, he was the author of the book, The 8 Habits, all right? He said that the main thing is to keep the main thing, really. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. So what is the main thing for us? The main thing is to keep Christ at the center of our lives. When we keep Christ at the center of our lives, then we will also help to ensure that the rest of the family members will also begin to do the same. So it's going to start with us, all right? That's the main thing. Yes, for the family, there are so many things to do, so many things to accomplish. The building of career, you know, the pursuit of material things, the raising of grandchildren, okay, the social life, the enjoyment of life, all this, okay, but ultimately, what is the main thing? The main thing is to keep Christ at the very center of our lives. When we do that, then we'll be directed and guided by the Holy Spirit. And then God will grant us wisdom to know what to keep, what not to keep, what to pursue, what not to pursue, what should be our priority, what should not be our priority, what we should follow, what we should not follow. All right? So we ultimately talk about tradition versus change. So it is about Christ at the center of the tradition, Christ at the center of the change. In so doing, then Christ will be at the center of whatever we are doing, and then Christ will be the center of our lives and the center of our families. And that keep us strong in the Lord in the face of all the challenges around us. So let me just say one more thing before I open up for the Q&A. So in the light of what I shared tonight, you can see the many factors that are against us. You can see the trends around us, the world, the society. And therefore, as a result, what is happening around us, the church needs to be a prophetic voice in the midst of the brokenness and the messiness around us. So the church must rise up and be the prophetic voice to proclaim Christ, that he is the answer, that he is the one that we must follow, that the church will be the spiritual agent, so to speak, that will bring about changes and being more impactful to our society and to the people around us. In other words, the church must influence and impact others, and not to be impacted or influenced by the society. So the church has a great calling in these days and time, and to rise up to be a prophetic voice for the Lord. All right, so let me stop here, and Pastor Kara, all to you.
Are there any questions that you want to ask? And Pastor, feel free to lead.
Yeah, we give them time to ask questions.